peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for joining us today in Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know we have been working through Romans chapter 10 and contrasting these two kinds of righteousness that here the apostle presents to us. The first kind of righteousness that Moses writes about is the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. And Paul's point there is simply to say, if you want to attain to God's righteous standard and have a right to heaven, here's one way. Keep the law perfectly. That means you cannot stumble at one point. The man who does those things shall live by them. That's the righteousness which is of the law. And Paul has shown us throughout Romans, that's an impossibility because there's none who does good and does not sin. All have turned aside. But then he shows us, this is what we're going to work through today, the righteousness which is of faith. He says there is a way of speaking that is of faith, that belongs to the believing heart. And so this really separates us from all other world religions. All other religions of this world try to attain to God by doing. They think that they have a list of rules that if they obtain to a certain kind of life, that will merit them heaven. True Christianity, the true believer, speaks this way. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 10. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. And I said yesterday, you can't separate what he's about to say from verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So then, the one who has the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to their accounts by faith, the one who is no longer under the law for condemnation, but now has Christ's righteousness imputed to him by faith, he speaks this way. And then Paul here in Romans, and I'd encourage you to go back today and look at this, but Romans 10, he then loosely cites a Deuteronomy 30. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will ascend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, that's a complex verse, and a lot of people, and for the longest time, I had no idea what that meant. Well, after a lot of study, Paul is saying there is a way here that faith does not speak. And it's taken from Deuteronomy 30. We need to understand what Paul's doing here. If you were to turn to Deuteronomy 30, and this is found at verse 11, Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 14, this is what we find. Now, hearing what P just quoted in Romans, see if you pick up a difference. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now I want you to notice here what Moses says. It's not out of your reach. You don't have to ascend into heaven to get it. You don't have to go beyond the sea to have it brought to you. But this word is in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. What is the it? Well, in Deuteronomy, the whole context is the commandment. And what is the commandment? Well, verse 10, If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, do you hear what Moses just said? It's not too hard for you. It's not far off. You know the commandment. It's in your heart. Do it. You can love the Lord your God with all of your commandment, with all of your heart, and keep all of his commandments. So it's as if Moses says, come on, guys, look, God said, if you don't keep it all, that blood will be on you. Remember, they said earlier, we will keep all that God says, and the righteousness which is of the law says, we will do it all. So Moses says, buck up, you can do it. Now, what in the world is Paul doing here? Of all the verses, what in the stars, Paul, are you doing? I mean, it seems like he's applying a passage of the Old Testament that says, keep the law, to the other kind of righteousness that comes by faith. In other words, Paul applies an Old Testament passage that deals with obedience to the law and applies it to us as something that's gospel. How do you understand this? Well, here it is, my friends. Paul studied Deuteronomy. He saw something so clearly in Deuteronomy. He heard Moses say, you can keep this commandment to obey, turn, and love the Lord your God with all of who you are. But he thought to himself, Paul says, well, is that true? No sinner can do that, though. So Moses is saying you can. Paul knew and affirmed earlier in the epistle, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who seeks after God. All have turned aside. All have become unprofitable. The entire Old Testament maintained the single truth. For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20. The sinner's greatest problem is that the wrath of God looms over his head, ready to consume. And the fires of hell of his justice are being kindled for every lawbreaker. So Paul looks at Deuteronomy and says, something else is being shown to me here. Moses saw someone else. I want you to notice a few things today if you're taking notes. In verse 6 of Romans 10, when it says, do not say in your heart, that's not Deuteronomy 30, that's Deuteronomy 8:17 and Deuteronomy 9:4. Listen to Deuteronomy 9:4. Do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land. Paul inserts, do not say in your heart. Do not say what in your heart? That it's my own righteousness that merits anything before God. Paul inserts that in Romans 10, right before citing Deuteronomy 30. So then, we are immediately taken away from ourselves when we hear Moses say, this commandment to obey and to love God with all of your heart is not difficult. Who is he speaking of? Well, Paul looks at verse 6 of Deuteronomy 30, and he meditates on that promise. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul that you may live. The Lord had said elsewhere, circumcise the foreskins of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. You do it, circumcise, right? All of a sudden it hits Paul. And this is a little complex section today, I recognize that. But this is what he's saying. He's telling them to do something they can't. Then to whom does he really speak? Who would this be fulfilled in? This is a promise that only comes in Jesus Christ. What did Paul see in Deuteronomy 30? He saw Jesus. And Jesus said, all the law and the prophets spoke of him. Paul heard Moses saying that this commandment would not be difficult for Jesus. It was in Jesus' heart. He did it. He loved his father perfectly. He obeyed the voice of his father. He kept his commandments and statutes. He did not miss a beat. He kept 100%, and it was not too difficult for him. He loved the Lord his God with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his mind. And he did the most amazing thing. Remember when the blood was sprinkled on the people? It pointed to the requirement of the law for breaking it, the penalty for breaking it. Jesus himself, as the perfect law keeper, became cursed, and his blood was shed to satisfy all the demands of the law, so that whosoever believes in him, Christ has become for them the end of the law for righteousness, and that believer shall never perish but have everlasting life. So now let me summarize this today. This is what Paul does. He's applying that which was a law passage for Christ and showing it in him to be a gospel passage for us. Turning back to Romans 10, verse 6. Now let's put all this together. The one who has the righteousness of Jesus Christ speaks this way. He does not say that he's merited anything in himself. It does not say in his heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. The believer who has Christ's righteousness does not need to go searching for Christ's righteousness. Nor do you need to go to heaven to try to establish your own righteousness. You don't even need to go to find Jesus. You are attempting to do only what God could do in sending his Son. The true believer does not say, how can I, by my best efforts, keep the law and live? Or how can my best efforts descend into the abyss and receive the righteousness of Christ? If you try to do that, you're doing only what God did in the resurrection. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. All this is saying, it's impossible on your part. What Paul is saying is God did everything necessary in the incarnation and the resurrection of Jesus for you to have the righteousness that he will accept. And that's where he says, if you confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Christ is near to us in our hearts and in our mouths. Believe upon him, confess him in your life. And you know what God's promise is? You will be saved. That's all you need, and it satisfies everything. Jesus Christ for righteousness. Jesus Christ for righteousness.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.